Turn over to Acts chapter 13. Look with me at verses 2-4. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted, they prayed and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed. Amen. We'll end our reading at the beginning of verse 4, knowing the Lord will bless the reading of His precious word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer again. Just ask the Lord for His help as we come to consider the word of God tonight. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We know, Lord, that the entrance of it giveth light. We thank Thee and we praise Thee for the scriptures of truth. We pray tonight, Lord, that You would come and speak to all of our hearts. We pray that You'll bless the hearts of Your saints. And, O God, that You would give us again, Lord, a vision for precious, precious souls. O Lord, we do confess that it's so easy to get weary in well-doing. But, O Lord, help us not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We thank Thee, Lord, and we praise Thee that You're still able to save to the uttermost. How we thank Thee that You're still in the soul-saving business. And, O God, therefore, help us, Lord, not to be discouraged in these days. We know, Lord, that the devil will do everything in his power to discourage us as the saints of God in spreading the message of the gospel. But Lord, we thank Thee that You have said, indeed Jesus said Himself, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And O God, we just thank Thee for the wonderful promises that are contained in the Bible. Thy word shall not return unto Thee void, but it shall accomplish that whereto Thou didst send it. And Lord, we've been finding out, well, as we have studied highlights from the life of Paul, that souls are saved through the preaching of the gospel. And while there will be those who will reject and mock and be skeptical, O God, we thank Thee, Lord, and we praise Thee that there will be those who will come and trust the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Savior. So, Lord, make us all missionaries. O God, we look around us here in Enniskillen. We have a mission field, Lord, right beside us, men and women perishing in their sins. O God, come and give us that fresh zeal from on high we ask of Thee. We cannot serve Thee in our own strength, Lord. But, O God, we pray that You'll fill us with the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to go forth believing the promises of God. Bless us now, therefore. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. There's no doubt that when you read and study the book of Acts, that it is clear that the Apostle Paul was the great pioneer missionary of the church. One is only to study the missionary journeys of Paul that are recorded in the book of Acts to see that this is the case. The reporting of Paul's missionary journeys take up almost one quarter of the book of Acts. Paul, of course, went on three missionary journeys. And when you study these missionary endeavors of Paul, you soon learn what a unique character Paul was. Paul brought the gospel to where the gospel had never been before. And he preached to both Jew and Gentile alike. Through his missionary endeavors, many churches were planted. And many precious souls were saved for time and for eternity. And no matter what people thought of Paul and his message, he continued in his missionary work until that work was accomplished. Tonight and next Sunday morning, in the will of the Lord, I want you to notice two things about Paul, the pioneer missionary. I want us to look at the call of the missionary. And then next Sunday morning, in the will of the Lord, I want us to consider the work of the missionary. And I pray that in these days that the Lord will give us a fresh vision for missionary work. Child of God, you don't have to go to India or Africa to be a missionary. We have a mission field right on our very doorstep. Those that we come into contact with every day. Those who are lost and on their way to a Christless eternity. And it is our responsibility to witness to them. But maybe there's someone here tonight, some young person, and the Lord has been speaking to you about missionary work, about full-time service. I pray that if that is the case, that you will be obedient to the heavenly vision and that you will go and serve the Lord where He is calling you to serve Him, because you'll never find peace until you do. You need to obey the word of the Lord. And of course, we're going to see tonight, as we continue to study these highlights from the life of Paul, that he was obedient to the heavenly vision. In Acts 9 verse 15, the Lord leaves us in no doubt that he was going to use Saul of Tarsus in his service. The Lord said to Ananias concerning Paul, immediately after Paul was saved, he said to Ananias concerning Saul of Tarsus, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. But it is not until Acts chapter 13 that Paul is set apart by God specifically for missionary work. Of course, in Acts chapter 13, if you're familiar with that portion of Scripture, not only is Paul set apart by the Lord to be a missionary, but so too is Barnabas. And we're going to be saying more about that just in a moment. But as we come to consider the call of the missionary tonight, I want you to notice a number of things. And I do pray that the Lord will write His word upon our hearts and upon our souls. I do pray that those young people in our meeting tonight who are praying for their future, I hope that you're praying for God's will to be done in your life. Now, it's not God's will for us all to go to the mission field. It's not God's will for us all to go into full-time service as far as the ministry is concerned. But at least you should be praying and asking the Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Because there is a work for each and every one of us to do in the Church of Jesus Christ. Now notice a number of things here as we consider the call of the missionary. Notice first of all, when God called Paul to be a missionary, he was already serving the Lord in a general way. Paul had always a desire to serve God. We have seen this already. When Paul went into the synagogues at Damascus and preached Christ unto them after he was saved. So before Paul received this specific call in Acts 13 into missionary work, he was a man who was already involved in the work of God. Paul had a desire to serve the Lord from the very moment he was saved. Such was his love for Christ and love for souls that he dedicated his life to the service of his master from the very beginning. Take a look again at Acts chapter 9 and underline verse 6. Now, in the course of these studies, I have emphasized that verse 6 of Acts chapter 9 is Saul's conversion. You can pinpoint Saul's conversion to Acts 6. My friend, if you're not saved tonight, you need to be saved. You need to turn from your sin and seek the Lord. Your greatest need tonight is to be born again of the Spirit of God. And that's what's happening here in Acts 9 verse 6. We have already preached upon Paul the penitent. We have already seen how Paul got saved. But you need to be saved tonight. And although this message this evening in the main is for God's people, I believe there's a word here again for your heart and for your soul. And don't miss it. But you'll notice that when Paul was saved, immediately he had this desire to serve God. Look at verse 6. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? Immediately, Saul was saved. He had this desire within his heart to serve the Lord. And although It wasn't until Acts chapter 19 when the Lord specifically called him to be a missionary. From the very moment he was saved, he wanted to serve God. Oh, is there not a lesson here for each and every one of us who are saved? Before God calls us to do a specific task for him, he will give us a desire to serve him in a general way. Our heart's desire should be to serve the Lord. Now, I believe that if you're saved tonight, genuinely saved and born again of the Spirit of God, that you have that desire to serve the Lord. Child of God, it is so important for you to get involved in the work of God in the local church. I believe this is the will of God for all of God's people. And as we are faithful serving the Lord in the local church where God has placed us, then, who knows, maybe God will call you to wider fields of service. You know, that's what's happening, I believe, in Acts chapter 13. Turn over again to Acts chapter 13. And you'll notice as Paul sought to serve the Lord in whatever way he could, God set his hand upon him and called him to go forth as a missionary. Look at verse 1 of Acts chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers. So who were these prophets and teachers in the church at Antioch? Well, we've got a list of them there. Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen. And then at the very bottom of the list, we read, and Saul. And Saul of Tarsus. Therefore, from the day Saul was saved right up to this point, he was serving the Lord in a general way. He was seeking to win souls for Christ. And we're going to find out just in a moment that he was praying for God's will to be done in his life. Oh, child of God, it is so important. You and I who know the Lord and love the Lord, so important that we have a burden for souls. Do you have a burden for souls? Do you have a burden for those that you work with, that you come into contact with day by day? Do you have a burden for your family, those who are still outside of Christ? Do you have a burden for those that you live beside, your neighbors? Do you realize that if your family die without Christ, that they'd be lost forever and forever and forever? Your mother, your father, your children, those that you live with day in and day out, if they die without Christ, they'll be lost. Do you have a burden for them? I know that many of you have. And I know that you have a burden because I hear you praying. I hear you praying every week for them. Oh, pray that that burden will increase. God answers prayer. I know sometimes that the devil, indeed all the time, the devil will tell us God doesn't answer prayer, but the Lord does. And the Lord can save the most unlikeliest of people in the most unlikeliest of places. And you keep on praying, no matter how far down the road of iniquity your family have traveled. Maybe you're praying for children, and they're far away from God tonight. Oh, keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. And keep witnessing to them. And keep telling them and reminding them that they need to be saved. Because sooner or later, I believe the Lord will save them. Paul had this desire to serve the Lord in a general way. And as he served the Lord in this general way, seeking to do what he could for the Lord in the local church, the Lord then set his hand upon him and gave him this specific call to be a missionary. We're going to say a little bit more about that in a moment, but I want you to see that. It's important that you see that. Young people, get involved in the local church. Get involved in the work of God in a general way. There's much for you to do in this church. There's many children's meetings each week, and your help is needed. And the outreach, your help is needed. There's always something to be done. And there's always something for you to do. But notice secondly here, I want you to take a look again at Acts chapter 13. When God called Paul into missionary work, he was praying. He was praying. That's what we're taught, I believe, in verse 2. Listen to it. As they, who are the they? Those who are mentioned in verse 1. And Saul one of those, they, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. A part of that ministry that Paul was engaged in at this time was fasting and praying. Paul here, I believe, was praying for God's will to be done in his life and God's will to be done in the forward witness of the church. No doubt as Paul and others were praying in Acts 13, they remembered the words of Christ in Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38. You remember what Jesus said to his disciples in that text of Scripture. He said this, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." Therefore, as Paul was praying for God's will to be done in the life of the church, and in his own life, the Lord called Paul and set him apart to be a missionary. I believe that's what's happening here. And when you study these words in the context, I believe that's what you learn. Oh, again, is there not a valuable lesson? A simple lesson, but a valuable lesson, child of God, for you and I to learn. And it's this. As we pray and seek God's will for our lives, the Lord will reveal his will to us through his holy word. I wonder, are there those here this evening and you're praying for God's will? I hope that there are. I hope that we're all praying for God's will to be done in our life, whether we're young or whether we're old. Because you know, child of God, you may not feel that you can go to the mission field anymore. Perhaps you feel that you're too old to be of much use for the Lord. Well, that's not the case. The Lord has something for us all to do. And it's so important for us all to find out God's will and God's leading in our lives. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, we read these words. Underline them in your Bible. Don't forget them. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." Day by day, we walk in this world of sin. Day by day, as we walk, we need God's word to lighten up our path. We need God's word to show us the direction in which he would have us go. Oh, child of God, day by day, is that your desire to walk in the path of the Lord? For the word of God to lead you and guide you. Oh, I hope and pray that it is. Because you know, God is still leading through his word. And God is still speaking through his word. The Bible is a living book. It's not just a history book. It's not just a book that we read because the minister says it's good to read it. But the Bible is God's word. And the Bible will lead us and guide us every step of the way. And if you know God's will for your life, pray much, and as you pray, serve the Lord in your local church. If you want to know God's will for your life, pray much, and pray that God will lead you and guide you, and he will. I believe that's what's happening here in Acts chapter 13. Paul got saved in Acts chapter 9. He's seeking to serve the Lord. He has this burden to serve the Lord. And as he serves the Lord in a general way in the church in Antioch, and as he prays, then something wonderful happens. And that's the third thing I want you to notice here. Notice thirdly that Paul received a definite call from God to be a missionary. Now this is very important. Look at verse 2 and underline it. "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said," so the Lord's coming to speak, "separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Now look at verse 4. "So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost." The Holy Ghost is the third person in the Holy Trinity. And the Holy Ghost, the third person in the Holy Trinity, give Paul and Barnabas a definite and specific call. The Holy Ghost, the third person in the Holy Trinity, sent Paul and Barnabas into the work, called them to be missionaries, and sent them forth to spread the message of the gospel. Oh, child of God, and I believe there's a very solemn lesson we need to learn here. We should never go into full-time work, whether it is into the ministry or onto the mission field, unless we have a definite call from God. That's very important. There must be a definite leading of the Lord in our lives. I believe that is so important. In other words, you don't go into the ministry just for a job. You don't become a missionary just for a job. Just because, well, there's nothing else for me to do, so I'll become a clergyman. And the sad reality is that down through the history of the church, that has been the case on many occasions. And that's why apostasy, one of the reasons why apostasy has set in to many of the denominations of yesteryears and even into today. I believe that what the Bible teaches is clear, that God calls you to be a missionary, and God calls you to be a minister of the gospel, and God calls you into full-time service. And that's what we have here in this portion of Scripture. A definite call is given to Saul of Tarsus to be a missionary. Now, there are other examples in the Bible where God calls men to serve him. I'm not going to turn you to all of these references, but if you have a pen, then you should just jot them down and you can read them later. Exodus 3 verse 10, God calls Moses to serve him. In Judges 6 verse 14, God called Gideon to serve him. In 1 Kings 19 verse 19, God called Elisha to serve him. In Jeremiah 1 verse 4, we have the call of Jeremiah. And then in Jonah 1, and I want you to turn over, keep your hand in Acts chapter 13, turn over with me to Jonah chapter 1. Because here we have the call of Jonah. And in all of these references, I want you to notice the definite call for each of these men to go and serve the Lord. But here we have the definite call to Jonah. Look at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord, here's the call, came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now, you couldn't get anything clearer than that. And of course, if you know anything about Jonah and the story of Jonah, you will know that he disobeyed the call of God initially. And when you read on down this chapter, he ran away from the call of God. And he got himself into big trouble because he ran away from the call of God. Oh, I wonder, is there someone here tonight, and perhaps you have been praying for God's will for your life, and God has spoken to you and directed you in a certain direction, a certain way. But up until this time, you haven't responded positively to the call of God. Oh, child of God, listen, don't live in God's second best. There was, for a time, Jonah lived in God's second best, and he suffered for it. And so will you. I have to say that, so will you. The Lord, if he has set his hand upon you, if the Lord has called you to be a missionary, or to be a minister, or to be a full-time worker in some capacity of his work, then you obey the Lord. You'll not find perfect peace until you do. But I'll tell you this, the moment you step out by faith, you'll know the peace of God in a very special way. And the Lord will bless you. Now, of course, when you read on down the book of Jonah, Jonah came to his senses after the Lord dealt with him. But you'll see that the Lord came and spoke to him again. Look at chapter 2 verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Jonah is beginning to get himself sorted out with the Lord. And he repents of his backsliding. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Oh, how merciful the Lord is, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. My friend, that's what's happening in Acts chapter 13. As far as Paul is concerned, the Lord's calling him. The Lord is directing him. And thank God, Saul and Barnabas, they obey the call of God and they go forth as missionaries. And of course, over the next couple of chapters, we read about Paul's first missionary journey and the blessing that missionary journey was to both Paul and Barnabas. Precious souls were saved and churches were established for the cause of Christ. There's one final thing I want you to notice here. No time's going on, but I want you to notice something else here about the call of Saul into missionary work. I want you to notice verse 3, because verse 3 is a very interesting verse. After the Lord gave Paul a definite call to be a missionary, Paul was sent out by the church. Now, did you notice that as you read down the portion of Scripture? Look what it says. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, who are the they in the text? Well, I believe the they in the text are the elders of the church. We have here the church sending Paul and Barnabas forth. Paul, along with Barnabas, went forth to do missionary work with the authority of the church and under the authority of the church. I believe this is God's order and God's way. God, I believe, in his providence and for his glory, in the book of Acts, established the church, the visible church. And when Paul went on his missionary journeys, that's what he did. He planted churches wherever he went. And elders were elected to oversee the work of God. And eventually, a pastor was sent, a teaching elder was sent. But you'll notice here, they've got the call of God. But as they go forth with the blessing of the church. Child of God, if the Lord calls you, the church will send you. If the Lord calls you, and you're in the will of God, you see, all things will work together. And if God's will is for you to serve Him in a full-time capacity, the Lord will open up that door. And as He opens up that door, the church will send you forth. I believe that's God's order, and I believe that's what is being taught here in this portion of Scripture. Men and women, there's a great need today for missionaries. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And the great commission of Christ to his church has not changed. In Mark 16, verse 15, the words of Christ still ring out. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Oh, I pray in these days that the Lord would give us all a missionary vision. I thank God for the missionary vision of this church. I thank God for the giving towards missionaries by this congregation. I thank God for those who pray for missionaries. And every week in our prayer meeting, the missionaries are never forgotten, and may that ever be continued. Because if there's a day and age when we need to pray for our missionaries, then it is this day and age in which we live. But child of God, you and I can be missionaries. Even in our own town of Enniskillen, we can serve the Lord and seek to tell others of Jesus, the mighty to save. At the very least, let us pray for a burden for souls and pray that God will send forth laborers into his harvest fields. There are many even in this world tonight, and the truth is they have never once heard of Jesus, the mighty to save. Just think about that for a moment. It's hard for you and I in Ulster to imagine that. We have been brought up in the gospel. We have been taught the message of saving grace right from our earliest Sunday school days, many from their mother's knee. We hear the gospel week in and week out. We hear about the Lord Jesus week in and week out. We take it for granted that everyone in this world must have heard the gospel. And yet, as we sit in this church tonight, there are millions who have never once heard of Jesus, the mighty to save. Those in communist countries, those in Africa, those in India, those around this world. And they sit in superstition and darkness. And we have the message. Oh, I pray in these days that the Lord will send forth more laborers. Young person, give your life to the Lord. Give your life to the Lord. Completely hand it over to Christ. Now, he may not call you to be a missionary. He may not. But at least make your life available to the Lord if he wants to use you in full-time service. There's very few in this day and age that's going forth to be missionaries. Very few. Why is that? There are probably many reasons for it. But I believe one of the main reasons is because people are not praying for God's will to be done in their lives. Are you genuinely, honestly praying for God's will to be done in your life? Listen. If you're not, start praying that prayer tonight. Be like Paul. Have a burden for souls. Seek to serve the Lord in whatever way you can. In a general way. Pray. And who knows, maybe the Lord will set his hand on you. Maybe the Lord will send you forth. But there's a great need. I pray that God will give us a burden. Child of God, let us seek the Lord with all our hearts. My friend, if you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, you need to come to the Savior. You need to trust in the Lord. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer. Trust him tonight. And thank God. Who knows? Maybe the Lord will use you in his service and call you into full-time work. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the word of God. And we thank thee, Lord, for the life of Paul. We thank thee, Lord, that you saved him. And Lord, that you called him. And Lord, that you used him in a very mighty way. And Lord, you're still saving and you're still calling. Oh God, help us all to make ourselves available. Help us all, Lord, to lay our lives upon the altar. We've only one life. It'll soon be past. And only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. Oh God, we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to set our affections on things above, not on things of this earth. For Lord, they'll only someday corrupt and congeal away, rot away in the grave. These bodies of ours, and Lord, the silver and the gold that we have, will all fade away. But we thank thee, Lord, that every soul that's saved, my Lord, what a heaven it will be for those who have led those souls to Christ. Oh God, we pray that there'll be many stars in our crown. Give us, Lord, that desire. And help us, Lord, not to be discouraged. For, Lord, the devil would want to discourage us. And the devil would want to keep us from preaching the gospel. He would tell us there's no point. No one's listening. No one's getting saved. No one cares. But, oh God, we thank thee that thy word will be blessed as it goes forth. For you've promised to bless it. So, Lord, encourage us and bless us now. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. 512 is our closing.